العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد،
We will continue our lecture tonight from the book of Al-Wadih by Sheikh Al-Ashqar. We will continue from page 177, the rule of Ijmal, the absolute Ijmal and the relative Ijmal. And Ijmal can be an absolute to everyone, and there is relative Ijmal that will be concerning only a group of people but does not cover all the people. So there is one that's common for everyone or absolute. So Ijmal may be from the statement that is said, and the listener would not know which type it is until after it is explained. After it is explained, then after that, like if you say to your servant, give me the book, and you did not tell before what the book was or which book it was. So this is an example to show which type of the Ijmal it is. So when you tell him, give me the book, without telling him ahead of that, I mean, which book it is, it will not. And also when the prayer was being prescribed, it was general Ijmal until after Jibril came and showed us how to pray and how the prayer should be performed. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the prayers, what is prayers? In this case, there is a meaning for what the prayer is, but it has many meanings. I mean, it could mean supplication, could mean worshipping. So it needs explanation. So Jibril came and performed the prayers and showed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to do it by leading the prayer 5 times, and he came and he prayed each prayer to show him how to do it. And this type of Ijmal was in the Quran at the time of the Quran was revealed, and before the time of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended, it was all explained through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ left this life after he has delivered his task completely. Allah said in the Quran, I will reveal this remembrance of Allah to you so you make it clear to people that what Allah revealed for them. So the Quran, there are many things that in the Quran that are mujmal, which are not clear in their meaning. But the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ came to clarify all of this and make it clear to the people through the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. As Allah said to him that we reveal this remembrance to you, so you make it clear to the people and show them what is being revealed to them or for them. So the Prophet ﷺ did make everything clear for the people. So in this case, it's no longer called the absolute Ijmal, which means it's being clear. So that's the Ijmal Mutlaq that has been clarified through the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And that will be the absolute type of Ijmal. But also the speech can be Mujmal to some people. And in this case, unless the person see the links that attach to the phrase and the statement, will not know what it means. And so in this case, there is nothing in the Quran, the Sunnah, that was not explained or interpreted. Everything that's in the Quran that was explained. But there are some people that maybe some of the meaning that was not clear for them. and that is because those statements were not for them but for other people, and that's what make this as a relative ijmal. And here is you see differences among people in their knowledge and their understanding of it based on their and their amount of knowledge they have and their experience. So the and people of knowledge, scholars, would know things that some other people do not know. So that's because this is part of the relative ijmal. So from this we now know the different types of ijmal. The other type of speech that's is bayan. And bayan is to tell something in a very clear way, that is very clear and is very definitive. And again, we said ijmal is something that will be ambiguous and not clear until after it becomes explained. But and in the Quran, there may be some ijmal which is the unclear or statements, but some of those were are explained in some other places in the Quran itself. So some of the Quran basically make the unclear part more clear or explain each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his sayings and his actions and his condition, they all came to explain the unclear meanings of the Quran. Because of that, the scholars were very careful about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that explained the Quran, so that the Quran will be clear for people to know what the Quran is intending and what the Quran is being revealed for at any point. So the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through which many things are becoming clear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the mujmal or the unclear clear by abandoning it or by approving it or by pointing to it. As the Prophet ﷺ one time told the people about the months of Ramadan, how many days, and he said this month is like this and like this, and he showed by his finger how many days the month is. So like he showed his 10 fingers one time, three times, which means 10, 20, and in the third time he did 29, so like 10, 10, and 9, where he basically folded his thumb, so which means that the month is 29 days. So that means the default for the month, the lunar month, is 29 days, and that, but it may be 30 days, but the default is 29. So the Prophet ﷺ did show that by his fingers. The Prophet ﷺ showed that so that the people who record the Sunnah would write that, because the Prophet ﷺ himself used not to write, but and also the amounts of the zakah, how much to be paid. For example, like the zakah to be paid from the camels on the cows. All these things are being explained by the Prophet ﷺ by numbers, and these were all recorded. So the Prophet ﷺ did just say those things, and they would write it down or record them down. Like he told them that there is no zakah on the camels until you have five or more. Or the cows, there is no zakah until they reach that number or more. So the Prophet ﷺ did explain all these numbers and they all recorded. And also the unclear can be clear just by the condition and the situation when it was said. Like when it says that the aunt, the mother's sister, is like the mother. It says that it is about nursing. And this came when it was talking about who would nurse the child in case of the mother is not there, so the infant. And in this case, it's not, this case doesn't mean that the mother sister is the mother herself, no. But it is like in case of the absence of the mother, her sister will be like the mother in nursing and taking care of the child. So that means the mother sister will be like the, in place of the mother in that case. But before this explanation, if somebody come and say that, you know, the mother sister is the mother, that doesn't make much sense unless you know what was the condition this was set at and what was situation that was addressing. So in this case, the condition and the situation explained. The rule of it is not permissible to delay the bayan beyond the time that it is needed for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah command about something that unclear, and when the time of it comes and people do not know what it exactly is commanded from them, that would fall under the command that is impossible to do. And we said that anything that the people cannot do or do not understand or comprehend, they are not going to be liable about it, and they cannot, it cannot be enforced on them. So if all the rules and the commands come in the unclear type of speech, which is a mujmal, then people would not know what they should do. I mean, they do not know what's been asked for them. So in that case, they need to have explanation. And in that case, the mujmal or the unclear is not the way to address the people for commands. So people have to know what they've been asked for and what they are supposed to do. So. So, and once the mujmal, which is unclear, become clear, now it is, has to be. And one of the rules is that we cannot use the mujmal, which is the unclear statement, as a support until after we know exactly what it means, because it may carry more than one meaning. So when we say the ijmal, the relative ijmal, which means that the unclear statement that that target a group of people, and in this case it has to be explained, because it could carry more than one meaning and more than one rule or ruling. And in this case we have to know what it means and before it become a command that people have to comply by. Because it could mean one thing or could mean another thing, because it fall under mujmal, because it can carry more than one meaning. Another rule, when we say bayan, that means it is to clarify things with the statement, and it will make this. So this rule, so before the speech become bayan, which become clear, before that it is mujmal, which is unclear. But once it become bayan and become clarified, then bayan in itself is basically explanation of the mujmal, that the one that was unclear at one point, and now it came to explain that unclear statement and make it clear for people to understand and comprehend. So this is the end of the mujmal and the bayan section, and we'll move on to the next section, and that's the section of the Zahir and Mu'awwal. Zahir and Mu'awwal, and they would be explained. We will explain what it means by Zahir and Mu'awwal. Some of the terms, it will be understood by the listener a specific meaning. But if we tell the listener that this statement actually means this and that, because of this and that, and explain to him a different meaning that from what he knew or understood. So some of the terms, when you say them to the person, he will get one understanding. But if we explain that that's not the meaning we want, and that's not the meaning we're after, So in this case, the listener know only one meaning for that word, but actually there are other meanings for this word as well. And we need to explain to the listener about what we mean. So if you are told that this word that you heard, it's not what you understand because of this and this and this, and we show you the proof that this is not what the meaning that we are after. In this case, the person will accept it if that has been explained to him and the new meaning that he wasn't aware of. So he would know in that case that's what it means. No? And this is so abundant, many places in the language. And that's what the ta'wil is. The ta'wil, which means it has a clear meaning, that's the zahir, but there is a meaning that you don't know about it. It's called the ta'wil, which will be explained to you. And some of the example of this, as Allah said to Nuh, we said to him, carry on board of it a couple of everything and your family. So when Noah has the ark, Allah commanded him to carry on board of it a couple of every type of animal, and the male and female, and his family. From this, Nuh understood that his son is included with his family, because his son is from his family, and his son was a disbeliever at that time. And this was a disbeliever. So Nuh tried to have his disbelieving son on board as well. So Nuh Nuh asked for his son to be rescued because of this statement of the ayah. Then Allah has clarified that to him and told him about that this is an invalid deed, referring to the son of Noah. So that means that son is not among his family. So in this case, when Allah said to him, your family, Allah is talking about his believing and the believers that was him. So, but the meaning that came to Noah's mind at the beginning was that his son and his wife and his children. And that's why he asked that his son was one of his family members. But Allah did clarify that to him after that son is not an invalid deed. Or when we say that Zayd built a house, in this case we think that Zayd actually literally he built the house by his hand. But in this case it could be that Zayd did pay somebody to build the house. So Zayd did not build the house literally. He didn't go and build the house by his hands, but he did hire somebody to do it. In these two examples, we say that one statement is zahir, which means clear in the meaning, but it carry a meaning that is not clear for the listener. So when you say Zayd built a house, it comes to your mind like Zayd physically built that house. But there are other meanings that you are not thinking about them, that Zayd did pay somebody. So that's what called ta'wil is. So and the proof of that is that Zayd did not physically build the house, but he did hire somebody to do it. And in this case, when we take the meaning of that the clear meaning and explain it by the unclear meaning, that's called ta'wil. So which is the meaning that is not the immediate meaning of the word or the statement. That is the ta'wil. And there are many reasons why people get the clear meaning when they hear the statement. There are many reasons. One is, the first one is called the haqiqah, which is reality. And the opposite of it is mayaz. Mayaz is to say a word, but you mean something different. So like you say, so like a word can be used for what it actually mean as its clear meaning. For example, like when somebody say, I saw a lion. You person who say, I saw a lion. So if you understood it as it is said, it that means that the person saw a real lion, which is the animal. What could mean that he saw a brave man or a knight, a fighter or somebody. And in this case, he did use the word lion for that brave man. Instead of saying, I saw a brave man, he said, I saw a lion. So that's the distant meaning, which is the ta'wil. Like if you see someone that's fighting fiercely in the war with his sword, and he's fighting in a very brave way, so in that you would refer to that person as a lion because of his courage and this and that. And we'll say, but if you said to somebody that I saw a lion, you don't really mean a lion, the animal. That would be the clear meaning. But the majaz in this case, which the distant meaning is that actually he saw a man. There are some of the scholars who deny the concept of majaz in the Quran. And they said the majaz is not in the Quran. Some of the scholars say that. And there are some, on the other hand, who actually say there is majaz in Quran. Those who deny majaz in the Quran, including Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim, they said everything in the Quran are haqa'iq, which means whatever the words are in the Quran, it means what it is, and it's not to be used for something other than what it said in the Quran. And they said the concept of the majaz is only theoretical theories, and it's nothing that is in the Quran or reality. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, for example, the example we just said, that I saw a lion and you mean a man. Ibn Taymiyyah said, what's your proof that the word asad has been used for a man ever? So, and he's arguing that way, and he said, and also they said maybe the word asad or lion basically mean the a man, but when now people took it back to the lion and they said this is asad. So Ibn Taymiyyah is arguing that he cannot use the majaz in this case by having this kind of argument. Like you can't draw the analogy between the asset and the man. And he said, so the point here is that the statement or the word may not have just a single meaning. It may have more than one meaning. And some of those meanings will not be clear until after there is something to tell what they mean. Or for example, like if somebody said the lion, we say, okay, lion, I mean, there are more than one usage of lion in the Arabic language. But the meaning that will come to the mind, but if you have some link or you have something to explain what it means, for example, if I say that I saw a lion fighting in the war, in this case, what comes to the mind that you are talking about a brave fighter and not a lion? So in that case, you have that link which would explain what it means. So in this case, if the term does not have one specific meaning, and if there is something attached to it, that attachment is going to explain what that means. And in that case, you can lean towards one of the meanings over the other. And if we look between the two opinions, the one that that accept the concept of majaz and those who deny it, but the one that we warn people from is that when it comes to the majaz, is we cannot use that with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's like people would try to dig into that and say that the attributes of Allah, they are yes, and could mean other meanings. Like you said that, you know, this attribute of Allah, it doesn't mean what it means, but it means something else. So that's going to lead us into a dangerous route. So in that case, people will probably use the concept of the majaz and go astray into many directions. And that's why that's those who carry the opinion that there is no majaz in many because of that. So that people will not take it and abuse it that way. So again, the clear statement, it has a meaning that is what it means in reality, and the majaz, which is the other meaning that's meant by it. And in that case, the distant meaning, that's what the ta'wil is. The second type is reason of the using the clear meaning is the iktifa and adam al taqdir. So in this case, the statement will come without anything being taken away from it, like when Allah said in the Quran, "And your Lord came." In this case, the immediate meaning of it is that Allah came by Himself. So that's what it means. I mean, literally, from the language point of view, when it says that, "And your Lord came," in this case, but in this case, it means that the command of your Lord arrived. So, and that would be the distant meaning, which is the ta'wil meaning of it. Is the absoluteness and the avoidance of limitation. For example, when Allah said freeing a slave, in this case, Allah said absolute slave. It didn't say that whether it's believing a person or disbelieving. And some people said that a believing person. Or then that's in case of this is the ruling for the person when he does zihar, and zihar is when the person he tells his wife that, you know, she's unlawful for him like his mother. But when Allah did the kafara for this to make this up and to cure this, Allah said is to free a raqaba or to free a slave, and in this case, it didn't say whether it's a believing slave or a disbelieving slave or any slave. So in this case, when you read about it, it just talks about any slave without any limitation. And you have to come with a support to show that it is only a believing slave. Five is the general statement. We'll talk about it in more details later. And in this case, it'll be a general statement that will basically cover everything. So when umum, that's general statement that will basically envelop or cover everything. If somebody said to his student, "Don't give anybody." In this case, that means anybody, that includes any person, not limited to any specific person. So in this case, there is no exception. That's what the umum or the general statement is. unless he specified by saying, don't give anybody except my friends or except this person. So in this case, from the clear meaning of it is that anyone will not be given anything. So, and there is probability that this can have exceptions. Exceptions, when maybe when he said don't give anyone, probably he meant that don't give anyone except this particular person. And in this case, when the person say a general statement, the ta'wil of it is that there may be an exception. From here, it means it's clear that so from this, it is clear that this the term, when the person will take it to a different meaning, if someone came and took the meaning away by interpreting in a different way, without any link or support to it. Or a general speech that the person took it and put ta'wil on it by making exceptions. And all of this, you must have a clear ruling from the Sharia to use that kind of ta'wil. Because you cannot use just your own desire and change the meanings that way. Because of that, the scholars of the soul has put this rule, that a clear meaning of the phrase or the statement does not need a support, because it is clear on its own and it has a specific meaning. So the ruling that the scholars put is that if the phrase or the statement is a clear one that doesn't need explanation, in that case we are not going to ask for any dalil or any proof or support to support the statement, because it is clear and it is self-explanatory in that case. So we will just take it from its clear meaning and use it from its clear meaning. But the unclear speech, the ambiguous speech, that's the one that needs to have support. And if there is any other meaning to be taken away by this, it has to have a support. For example, when Allah said the man who steals and the woman who steals, cut off their hands. In this statement, when I say hand, best hand in Arabic or yet, it could mean the hand and the arm all the way up to the elbow, to the shoulder. All of this is term is called yet in Arabic. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has limited that only to the wrist, and only the palm was cut off. So in this case, the term arm means the whole arm, but the Sunnah came to specify and show that it's only the hand from the wrist. So in this case, we did leave the clear meaning of yad in the verse, and we used the dalil from the Prophet to specify. In this case, the distant meaning is that the arm, it means the wrist only. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said the child to the bed and to the if a woman that's married and she has a child that's born, that has to go to her official husband. And even if that woman went away and committed fornication with somebody and adultery with someone else, so as long as that husband is there, it will be the son will be that husband's son. except if the husband in this case came to know about it and he basically made it clear that, I mean, this is not his son, he has nothing to do with it. But if the husband did not say anything in that case, the husband, the son will be, or the child will be basically the husband's son. And the one who did the actual father, who's not the legitimate father, will be the one that's losing. So in this case, when it says that the son belongs to the husband, in this case it means the husband through the marriage, or the master of the she slave that he own. But in this case, a husband that is married to a wife is one that's clear to the closer to the mind. But it includes the she slave that the person have. Based on the statement of the itself. And in this case, if a woman that is a slave of a man and she became pregnant from somewhere else, that would also be named after the woman's master in that case, even though it's not, doesn't say that in the statement. And so, but when you say also frash, which basically means the bed, that would come to the closer meaning of the husband. Asking about the meaning of Ahir, and Ahir is the one who commit adultery. That's the meaning. And in this case, the child that will be born is not going to be named after the one who committed the adultery with the mother of that child, given that she was married. If the woman was not married and she committed adultery, and the father of the child wanted to have the child named after him, that's different and has different ruling. But the one we're talking about here is that a woman who is married to a husband, then she did commit adultery with someone else and had a child from that adultery action. But if a woman is not married and she became pregnant, some of the scholars said in this case, the father of that child, of the unmarried woman child, he has the right to claim that child and have him named after him, even though he did this through adultery and in an illegitimate relationship. But still, that would be his son or child. And as Umar, it was reported that he did command some people that used to commit adultery before Islam, and they had children from those adulteries in the past, and Umar commanded them to go and claim those children and name them after themselves. If a woman is married and she came with a child, that is questionable. It's not necessary to go and do this DNA analysis and all those things. As long as she is married to this man, and that child will be named after that man. But if the husband of the woman came out and he said, this is not my son, and he just does not want to claim him, in that case, he has that right. And in this case, I mean, those analyses can help to resolve the situation. But the default here is that we should not really question this, but name the child after the husband of the woman. And there has to be other things linked to the situation to basically direct the situation in one way or another. Did not hear the question, I'm sorry. We will stop here, inshallah, and then we'll continue after Maghrib.